Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Okay, ladies and jamsters, guess what? Suns played with their food a little bit tonight, if you will, going against the Toronto Raptors at home. Coming off the heels off one of the best wins of the season against the Denver Nuggets. You have a feeling that this could be one of those trap games, right? You have Boston coming to town on Saturday. You have the Toronto Raptors who just got spanked by the New Orleans Pelicans. Suns win. It did feel like, again, like I said, they played with the food a little bit. Matthew, do you think that the Suns were playing with their food?
I guess so. Just get this all over with. This whole game tonight was just, it's one of those you just don't even want to watch. But we watched it. I'm very happy as a Suns fan, and I love KD and everything that happened tonight with the Suns winning, because if they would have lost, then I would have been more pissed. But, yeah, dude. I mean, great win last game. You know, the Nuggets playing the Celtics tonight, who we face next game. That's a battle. So you know our win is legit because the Nuggets are keeping up with the Celtics. So the Suns within this 3-game span will really know who they are, and hopefully Book will be back soon. So
we did get a Devin Booker sign. That's it. Jam star of the game. Call it a night.
Booker.
Well, you know, I was kind of concerned because I didn't see Devin Booker during the first half, and then he kind of came out walking in the second half. Because I was down there during shoot around, and I wanted him to see the book once. I wanted to see him see me wear the book once. I'm like, hey, where's Booker, everybody? I got some compliments on the shoes, which.
You remind me because last game when Chet was there, when I went, he was like walking around with his KDs and he kept looking over at, oh, nice. He kept looking over at KD like, is he looking yet? Is he looking yet? Like the whole time in pregame. So I'm sure you were doing the same thing, waiting for Book to take a peek, but sorry, man.
And he never came out. And I was like, yeah, it's okay. You know, I'll just sit here and watch Grayson Allen. And then we watched what Grayson Allen did in the first half. And it was unbelievably amazing. And then he didn't do shit the rest of the game. So plenty to talk about on this edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast. My name is John Voida, managing editor of Bright Side of the Sun. His name is Matthew Lissy, one of our contributors and part of the Suns Jam Session Podcast.
Yeah.
The original post-game podcast here on Planet Orange, shooting the shit about the Phoenix Suns since 2019. Plenty to talk about on this edition. Make sure you subscribe, like, rate, and review. Pop them if you got them, all that fun stuff. So I'm going to pop a nice little Diet Coca-Cola, Matthew. Oh,
they're serving that at the game, huh?
Wow. I need my caffeine late at night. Let's talk about this game. Score of 120 to 113, which is kind of funny because I'm pretty sure that the final line was 8.5. And of course, Emmanuel quickly throws the ball in at the very end, gets his 18th assist, and it makes it a 7-point game. So you know that there's somebody out there who was like, what the actual fuck just happened? But let me ask Matthew a question.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
So Matthew went against the Raptors, call it a season against them. We sweep them this season. You know, I guess the question that I have to ask, is there anything that you learned from this game, knowing that the journey that lies ahead for the Phoenix Suns is a tumultuous one, filled with potholes and plot twists, Celtics and Cavaliers and Bucks and Clippers, oh my.
Yeah, well put. And I think the one thing I learned is really that Eubanks might be a little bit back. He's kind of picking up some momentum, a little bit of juice from this game. In a game like this where you could tell the stars aren't really up for it. I mean, Beal's kind of getting back into things, and KD is just a little off here and there and a little slow and tired. Eubanks is a guy that needs to step up. So I kind of felt like I learned that he might be more of a factor than I thought ending the season and heading to the playoffs. But that could just be my hopes. It was a Raptors team that should have been blown out tonight, obviously, but we're not really a team that should be blowing anybody out, right? We are who we are. We don't blow anybody out. So I don't know why people fucking expect that. So I think Eubanks is the biggest takeaway really from tonight.
We are the schizophrenic Suns. And shout out to all the Jamsters who instantly corrected me and reminded me that we did not, in fact, sweep the Raptors. Yeah, that's right. The Raptors is the game earlier this season in which Devin Booker hurt his ankle. That's right. So, yeah, we went 1-1 against the Suns. I apologize. I had a 50-50 shot on that one, and I forgot to
it's
check
right.
before
you
the
tried,
game.
Man.
You know,
yeah,
it was raining.
Threw it out there.
It was raining. I was walking here. I was trying to avoid puddles in my new book ones. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's like all cold out.
It's all cold.
It's like Christmas right now.
Yeah, it is. 100%.
It's so freezing, man.
It's so. And I'm walking down here. I'm like, gosh darn it. Of course, the first day, this is the first time I've like worn the book ones. And I'm like, you know, they look nice with the jeans. I'm avoiding puddles. And yeah, I'm not looking at what our series history is against the Toronto Raptors. But I like your point on Drew Eubanks, because the thing that Eubanks brings to this team, and I know it might be strange to people, but who cares? We're gonna start off the pod with a big crank Eubanks drop.
Big crank Eubanks.
Crank that soul.
Now I mean you.
Crank that soul.
Now I mean
you.
Crank that soul.
Now I mean
you.
Crank that soul.
Now what?
Say you crank that. The thing that I appreciate about Big Crank Eubanks is because he can have the ability to come and be productive. And you're right. In the past few games, we've seen that from him. Can you hear those people yelling, "Let's go Raptors"?
Yeah. Is that even possible there?
Yeah. There's a bunch of them.
Are they yelling
there.
At you? Are they throwing
no.
stuff at you?
Oh, no. No, they're Canadians. Come on, man. Just be like, that's what that,
off
that,
there,
that,
man.
That's yeah, what you do, you people. Just so you know, like if you're ever driving in traffic, the thing nowadays isn't to flip people off. Ooh, I wonder if that does anything on this app. Nope. The thing to do isn't to flip people off. The thing is to give them the thumbs down. So if somebody cuts you off, don't honk your horn and flip the bird. Just put your hand out your window and give them a thumbs down. It's just like, just think about what that does to people. People are just like, they're like, oh man, he's not mad at me. He's disappointed. There's your life advice
better.
Right there.
I love that.
It's true. I do it now. I do it. People cut me out. You know me. I think everyone's an idiot on the road.
Yeah, and, you know. Yeah, I know. And it's one of those things I just never cared about. But I'm the guy that's getting yelled at, and I don't even realize, obviously. So
yeah, it's me. Just like poker, right? It's at the very beginning of the movie Rounders when they say, if you sit down at a table for 30 minutes and you can't spot the sucker, guess what? You're him. That's you. You're like, I never notice anybody driving bad. It's because you're the guy driving bad.
Yeah, I've gotten a few fingers, but I don't know why. It's not my fault.
Well, I'm telling you, like when you got, because you've been with me. Every time somebody gets in front of me, they go slow. And I'm not a massive speeder. I'm somebody who goes to speed limit, maybe 5 to 10 over, depending on where it is. It's not a school zone. But I'll be going 75 down the freeway, and somebody will get in front of me, and they're going 65. It's like, I don't know what it is about me and my vehicle that make people want to do this, but at the same time, like that's what you do is you just throw a thumbs down to where they can see it and they just go, oh man, I'm not good. Because they're used to getting probably thumbs down on Twitter or whatever.
Or their whole life from their dad and their mom. Life. I'm failing everybody in life. I can never get it right.
Yep, and here's another fail straight from me to you. But going back to the Eubanks conversation, one of the things that I appreciate about him is because he can be effective and play the way that he's playing, it allows Jusuf Nurkić to play a little bit more aggressive, right? We've seen that in the past two games. Going to go up against the Joker, knowing that his blood's up and he's ready to take on that battle. And then going tonight against the horse-faced Kelly Olynyk, knowing that guy just kind of plays with a different pace And I'm pretty sure he was wearing KD 16 twos as well tonight. Was watching two as well, and was watching KD to see if he was noticing it. But knowing that you have to play against those kind of players, because you have a solid backup, you can actually be effective, be aggressive, and go for those rebounds. Because if you're constantly sitting there and going, okay, if I get this foul, I'm going to be pulled from the game, and that's going to hurt my team. Versus I'm going to go for this ball, and I get the foul, it's okay because Big Crank is coming in, and I can sit down, relax, knowing that when I get an opportunity to come back in, fucking horse face will be waiting for me. So that's Jeez. What I think about you, Banks.
Yeah. No, that's good. I'm glad we're on the same page because he just seems more relaxed too. And it's nice that you know Nurk's going to be in foul trouble this postseason. He's going to be
100%.
It's something that we've always worried about all season long. So you get the productive play out of him, and then you can have Eubanks come in and just be himself. And it, you can just tell he does look a little bit more relaxed, like I said earlier. But it's just on his face, man. It just is. There's a little bit more confidence in him. He's finishing dunks. He's actually rolling towards the rim on a pick and roll, and they're throwing alley-oops towards him again. Like, that hasn't happened in forever. And like, the last few weeks, it's been that way. So if he can keep that up, it's huge. Because I was rooting for, like, starting Bol behind, you know, Nurkic. But, you know, obviously that's not going to be a thing. So we need him to play big minutes in the playoffs for sure.
Now, I do see this comment from Michael Kolb, one of our elite jamsters. Again, if you want to become an elite jamster, go ahead and hit that join button on the YouTube page. And he says, but John, he has to grab rebounds, not tap rebounds. So I don't know if he's talking about Eubanks or if he's talking about Nurk, but both of them have the
Eubanks affinity
to tip the ball. And the reason for that is because it's not because he's trying to tap it all the time. It's because he's out of position and he can't grab the rebound, so he does the next best thing. At least he goes up and tries to tip it. Like, I appreciate both of them do that. But I think that that's one of the things that he brings that is a plus for the team. And I'd say probably about 70 to 80% of the time, those tips don't lead to fast breaks for the opposition. They get back in the hands of the Phoenix Suns. And I think that that is very, very valuable for this team.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's just him being engaged and him being in every play. That's the way he was earlier this season. It's never really going to be the most positive outcome, but it's going to be something to where you're noticing him on the court again, because he was just unnoticeable. He would make the dumbest plays. He would basically get this team in trouble down low underneath the rim a ton of times, whether it came to rebounding or just putting a shot back in, you know, on an offensive rebound. So he's been that guy of late. And the stat line is not too crazy, just 6 points and 8 rebounds. But the 4 offensive rebounds is really huge in helping the Suns tonight win.
Massive. You need that just to keep those possessions alive. Because, again, this game was at times – I mean, it got down to 3 points a couple times. And you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But what helps them pull away? Easy money sniper.
Who the heck are you?
Yeah, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play a game.
11 of 19 from the field for Easy Money Sniper tonight. 2 of 5 from beyond the arc. 11 of 12 from the free throw line. Only 3 rebounds, only 1 assist, only 4 turnovers. 35 points for number 35, Kevin Durant. 16 of the Suns, 22 points in the third quarter. The Suns had their fourth quarter in the third quarter of this game, and thankfully it was Kevin Durant who kept this team afloat, because they didn't come out with the proper energy to sustain the 15-point lead that they took into the half. And next thing you know, this game's close, and had it not been for the 16 points scored by him and the 6 by Beal, it was Beal and Durant literally in the third quarter. But he looked great. A lot of tough shots, as per usual for Kevin Durant. Some physical play. He got hit in the head. He got hit in the arm. I mean, he was getting pushed around out there by the Toronto Raptors. I'm glad to see him walk away from this game feeling okay, because he competed again tonight, man.
Yeah, he did on that block. That was probably a foul, but the one that was a fast break dunk that he prevented landing on someone's knee, the back of his head, hitting someone's knee. Oh, that's always hard to watch, but he was okay after that, which was obviously great, but it's scary. And obviously, it leaves a question. Do you wash that knee ever again? If you're that guy, if Kevin Durant brushes up against you at any body part, do you ever wash it again? I guess he has his pants on, so it doesn't count really, right?
You just never wash those pants again.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. So not the knee, it's the pants. Okay. I didn't think about that. Let me write that down so I remember next time.
If it's flesh to flesh, no, you can't. You cannot. So this is almost I don't know if you'd call this trauma, but
childhood trauma.
So when I was in first grade, so 6 years old, I was in the newspaper. And I was, the reason I was in the newspaper is at the time I went to St. John Baptist de La Salle in Granada Hills, California, and the local cardinal came to visit our school. All right. For those of you who don't know, a cardinal somewhere in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, the Pope's the top guy. The priest is kind of there. Like a cardinal's a district manager of priesthood. I don't know.
Yeah.
And we got to meet him and like I shook his hand. And then I was in the paper and there's a picture of me and my quote was, I'll never wash this hand again. Like I just met fucking Elvis or something. My first time ever being in the paper. So
jeez, well, you're that gullible. What else happened? Nothing else happened. It was just, that was it.
It was in front of everybody. Yeah, just that's a handshake. Good. It wasn't in the back. I was an altar boy and everything, but I wasn't pretty enough. So transition.
I'm
back.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hi, Barbie.
Oh, hi, Alan.
Oh, Grayson Allen, our fuck shit up guy.
Grayson Allen in this game, 26 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Started the game in fuego. He had 7 three-pointers in the first quarter. 7. That's more than Devin Booker's ever made in a regular season game in the first quarter. Ended the first half with 26 points and 8 made threes. Ended the game with 26 points and 8 made threes. I'm not mad at him. We win by 7. He gave us what the Suns needed at the time we needed it. He helped the Suns gain that momentum right off the bat. It was fun. Every time he shot the ball, the arena was full of excitement in here at the footy, down here at the Footprint Center. And everybody was just hoping that he would break that Suns record that he has tied. There's, 4 or 5 people have hit 9 three-pointers in the game. Grayson Allen's done it twice this year. We all thought that this was the game. We've witnessed history tonight that he would break the single-season Suns or the single-game Suns record relative to threes. He did break the season – or I'm sorry, the single quarter record for three-pointers, which when he made 7 in the first. But, I mean, it was an unbelievable start for him. I just wish he would have got a couple more. But you know what? I'm not overly mad, man. That way to go, GA. He saw us wearing book ones.
It'd be hard to be mad at that. I know every time he gets so hot, it's always in that span of time. But then also, like, that's every NBA player. Every NBA player does that when they get so hot and you're like, oh my God, they're going to score 23s. They're going to make 23s tonight. And it just never happens because they just go cold and they kind of probably get in their head a little bit. But it was incredible. I actually missed the first quarter. I was off and on. And I came back, Suns had 39 points in the first quarter. And I was like, what the heck? Okay, must be Bradley Beal. He must have went off. And I was like, holy shit, what just happened? I hate that. I hate missing stuff like that. Just like the Saban Lee dunk last game, I hate missing it. It's not the same to go back and watch, but I did watch the highlights. And just being there in the stadium, I'm sure it's incredible because every three, it gets louder and louder and louder, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it's not a Saturday night crowd, so you know they're engaged and having a good time. And like I'm out here looking at the seats because I'm really hoping that somebody left one of those bobbleheads.
Oh, I was wondering what you're looking for, man.
I wanted one so bad, dude.
Who's sitting next to Book? Is it Kendall?
Diana Taurasi.
Oh, is that who it is? Yeah. Would you rather be Kendall or Diana Taurasi?
No,
I wouldn't want Kendall there. It made more sense.
I'd rather it be Diana Taurasi. But like, for those of you who follow us on at Suns Jam on Instagram or Twitter, you know, I posted a picture this morning of me kind of showing off the book ones, and I'm in my office, and you can see that I don't have anything on the shelf in there, right? I it's a new office that I got. I'm slowly starting to move things in there, but that would have been great to take to the office and put in there. It would have been really cool to put it. And I'm just like, I talked to John Bloom before the game. Tom Chambers gave him one. It's a bunch of crap. If anybody wants to hook up a Jamster, let me know. I would love to have that.
Do you want to show him what you got, though? I mean, you got a notebook today, right? We'll talk about the All-Star game later, but I don't know if you're saving that, but You can unwrap that if you want, like your book ones.
Maybe. I mean, we could do that now. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, I'm like, no one even want to watch this game.
So the Suns came to me and they said, hey, on behalf of the Phoenix Suns, and they put this in front of me. So let's unwrap it and see what we got in here, ladies and gents. Ooh, paper. Some more paper. Wow. I see what they did there. It's
some
both
stuffers.
It's both orange and purple.
Oh, bra stuffers. Is that what that is?
Yeah, so my boobies can look bigger. I got a nice little book here that's imprinted. It says All Star. Let's see if I get the light on just right. All Star Phoenix 2027. There's a personalized note in here. It's a penis. sounds pretty cool. I actually use the crap out of this kind of stuff. I got like two in my office. And then we've got a shirt here. It's an XL. Perfect.
Dude. No. I wouldn't have worn that tomorrow. Oh my gosh, man.
I don't see anyone on Media Row left.
I was gonna say, I don't know. Maybe there's extras. I mean, Palmer, maybe he saved one for me. I'll walk in and be like, hey, Matt, got him something for you. I can see it.
That's really cool, man. And obviously,
yeah, that's awesome.
That was the big news. So here's the funny thing, Matt, and you'll appreciate this. Like, I come in, and you walk downstairs, and you hook it to the left, and then you go to where the media room is, right? And standing in line to get food is Palmer. And he's got, like, a suit on, dude. Dressed to the nines, got the little Suns pin. I just like brushed his shoulder. I was like, hey, Schnazzy, looking good, you know? And he's just like, yeah, I did it for you. And then I was out, you know, watching shoot around, and Cole comes by and he's wearing a suit too. I'm like, what the? I'm like, oh yeah, they had the press conference today where Adam Silver's here. Matt Ishbia was here in a suit. Now, granted, he instantly, when I saw him out during shoot around, he was not in a suit anymore. But they announced that the Phoenix Suns officially will have All-Star Game 2027 right here in Phoenix, Arizona again. It's the first time since 1995, I believe, was the time before that. Here's the logo, kind of a basic logo, but I'm not complaining. Yeah. It serves its purpose, but, you know, thoughts on the All-Star Game coming to Phoenix in 2027?
I think it's awesome. Obviously, where we're next up after, you know, the Clippers earned it the year before with the new stadium they just
built.
Which
makes perfect sense, yeah.
Yeah, and then with the renovations we have, who knows? HBO might have this thing going to the sky. Like, this place might be a little bit bigger in two more years. So
we're going to have a levitating stadium.
Yeah, the pictures they have where it shows the background of Phoenix behind the stadium, it's not going to look like that, I'm pretty sure, in 2 years. But it is exciting, man. Just make sure, Jamsters, if you're here in Arizona and Phoenix, save about maybe a couple hundred grand to go to this thing, because it's going to be expensive. But I was gonna ask John, you know, maybe by then maybe we'll get credentials to the All-Star game. That'd be cool, right? Get in for free.
Well,
and
the first thing I ask some questions, I'm like, you know what, I will at least be managing Bright Side of the Sun for the next 3 years, because I would love to go to the All-Star game. So we'll see how SB Nation navigates that. But that would be super excited. And it's fun because we just went through the All-Star game and we talked about how boring the game is and the festivities, yada, yada. It's different when it's in your backyard. It's different when the events around it are in your home city. And it's exciting. And I can't wait to see, you know, where we are as a franchise when that happens. And hopefully we get a couple players in there. You know, Devin Booker's going to be what, like 30 when it happens? Kevin Durant's going to be 47. 40? Yeah, 47. So it's gonna be interesting. So I told another side note. Do you know what is the most exciting thing about this Sunday, Matthew?
Is it Easter? Or no?
It is not. It is.
Oh,
not
it isn't.
Easter.
Okay, I thought I saw ashes a little bit ago, but maybe that was different.
You did see ashes a little bit ago. Easter is the 31st of March this year. It's an early Easter.
Okay.
And so do you know how Easter is predicated? I'm sure I've told you this. Like, Christmas is always on December 25th, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why is Easter never on the same day?
Because God died different days?
You know what time it is.
Trivia time.
So Easter is predicated. It is the first Sunday after the first full moon in spring. Spring starts on the 21st or the 22nd of March, depending on the year. And whenever there's a full moon, if it's on a Tuesday, the next Sunday, it's going to be Easter. So, yes, Easter is all predicated on the moon.
Well, if you believe in the moon and you think it's real, I guess we have to. No, I'm just joking.
That flat moon up in the sky. Yeah. No, a couple of Jamsters got it right. John Tran got it right. Daylight savings is okay. This weekend. So what does that mean, Matthew?
Another hour to head for New York, and we stay still. We stand
the key,
still.
The key is we have no more 8 o'clock fucking games.
That it, but then also we have the 4 o'clock games next week. East Coast trip. So I don't know how that's going
to work.
This
is true. They're not 5 o'clock anymore.
Yes. I was looking at schedule like 4 o'clock, 4:15, or 4:30, 4 o'clock. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know.
Hey, beats in Australia. That's like 3 a.m. for them or something.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Yeah. Not complaining. Just saying.
That's me. But I do love it when we go. Hunt Star 05. Jesus was into astrology? That's what I always wondered.
Yeah, must have.
If you really get in, if you really get into it, it's like the harvest was always the spring harvest is always celebrated by the pagans. So the church had to kind of take it over and make something their own around there to kind of and then demonize the pagans for worshiping the fact that like the moon, like no, the moon, Jesus, he rose again after 3 days. He took a weekend off.
I guess I'm starting to do tonight.
Yes. So, and then the Suns game.
Yeah,
the Suns game.
Yeah.
What else do you want to talk about?
I mean, were we talking about Kevin Durant? We didn't even talk about him, did we? Yeah, we did a little bit.
We were talking about Kevin Durant. I will say this, Jamsters, you know, if you're listening to the pod, continue to watch or continue to listen. If you're watching the pod, I'm going to just start packing up and going. You're still going to hear me just fine, but you might see me packing up. I'll be walking out of the stadium, headed to my car because I just feel like I don't feel like sitting here up in Media Row all night. You know what I'm saying? There's a bunch of kids out there on the court. They're shooting. I don't even know what's going on down there.
That too. Like there has to be one night where like the media goes down there and plays like a pickup game, right? There has to be something. Cause honestly, like every time I'm sitting there doing the pod, I'm watching them play ball. And I'm just like, there has to be a time when we can all go out there and play. Right. And then like tear my knee up somehow. Oh, John's all frozen. Cause the fuck I used to do this all the time. I always just dropped out of the pod. So let's talk about Bol Bol, baby. Michael Cole, Bol Bol. Let's play his drop. I was not prepared for this. 1 second, everybody. Where's Bol Bol, motherfucker?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
No drop at all. All right, so Bol Bol tonight actually had 11 points and 7 rebounds, 8 rebounds, actually one offensive rebound. From what I'm seeing from Bol Bol tonight, good minutes. It's okay, but the one thing is the 16 minutes. So I'm actually thinking that the Suns should bolster that up to 20 minutes per game. If you're not with me, let me know in the chat. I just think there's something there. There was a possession early in the game where he took this dumb three or this two. In the corner, he pump faked the three, went maybe a couple feet up, and he just launched this two about 20 feet, and he bricked it. But the thing is, the next possession after that, he kind of rebuilt himself. He didn't just kind of settle for those shots. He was doing more. And what EJ said tonight, too, about how he dribbles the ball, and you never see anything like it. I mean, there is a guy named Wimby in the NBA who does things like Bol Bol, but better. And Shaq earlier in the season did talk about Bol Bol being like Wimby. I can kind of see that. I can kind of see how he can evolve into a guy like him, not to the better level, maybe like a C or B player compared to Wimby. But what Bol Bol is doing right now is he's building on a lot from earlier in the season, but also he has to get those minutes, right? He has to. Like Malcolm Club says, Bobo has been awesome for a while now. It has been very consistent. There's a few games here or there where sometimes I'm like, okay, when are these minutes up? Yeah, I don't know. I don't want them to go away. I want them to be consistent, because if we didn't see what we've been seeing from Eubanks, I think tonight or this season, ending the season, heading to the playoffs, we'd be kind of screwed backing up center. So let's see. Wait, where's John? I don't know. He disappeared. He got kicked out. No, he's actually leaving right now. He'll be back on a little bit. He might be heading down to the court to play some pickup games. And he just left me here all by myself. All by myself. Let's talk about this dude really quick.
Mr. Lee, you're cleared for takeoff.
All right, Saben Lee tonight had 15 minutes again. 15 minutes again. His point total. I'm doing a little Stephen A. Smith right now. I don't know if that guy's really that good at his job, but a little overrated. 0 for 5. So I kept seeing, even in the subreddit stakeout, maybe I'll do it here in a little bit since John's gone. Saben Lee's been getting a lot of minutes lately. Obviously, there's another roster spot. I don't think he has enough to really prove himself to be that guy, to be the extra guy or the last roster spot. But I do like seeing him out there. I'm always going to be in favor of him. Michael Club does say, Saben Lee, Suns Fever 83. Poor Lissy. Poor me. Why poor me? I'm with you. I'm with all the Jamsters. This is fine. I'm at home right now, man. I feel good. This pod's probably going to end early anyways. And I'm very excited to still be with the Jamsters up there. What's up with Ish? No good. Brings it up. I don't know. But he did come back home tonight. I did see pictures, videos of him walking to the arena. So it's good for him to be back. Someone that can just really support this team in the locker room, on the bench. Probably not going to get a lot of minutes, but Saben Lee is probably going to still get a lot of minutes until they figure something out. Like Chris Haynes says, the Suns are going to go out and get somebody to help this team. And it might be a point guard, it might not be. But to me, I think Saben could still contribute in these type of games. Big games like Saturday against the Boston Celtics. I don't know. We'll see. But John Tran does say, Saben, we can have better, but he's all we have. Exactly. That's one point well said, because we have nothing else right now. We have nothing else. And I'm just going to do this thing right now.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
Oh my gosh. Where's John at? I don't even know what's going on. I'm just like by myself. Who knows? It's so scary out here all by myself. It is actually kind of weird. It's all really kind of quiet and just, I don't even know, but I'm just going to go ahead and do subreddit. It laughed to myself like a weirdo. That's just so weird. So I don't know if you guys heard the news, but Kat tore his meniscus, out for this season. That could wrap up the T-Wolves championship hopes. So shitty. That is actually very true. And that's something I want to talk about with John. Hold on. I want to talk about how the way the Suns can actually make it in the playoffs maybe this year is due to some team losing one of their best players. Kat, obviously having a great season with the Wolves, has helped that team get to where they're at right now, the number one seed. Him and Gobert has figured things out. Offensively, Kat's almost unstoppable most games. But teams losing their best players, I'm not over wishing for it, but I'm just saying that's something to watch for, because I don't know if they can be as explosive, of course, in the playoffs. But the way that Gobert's playing, Anthony Edwards, MVP caliber player, they might be okay without him. But let's get back to subreddit. Yeah, this is so awkward. I know, it's so weird. What the fuck is this halftime show? I wanted to ask John that too. I wanted to see what the halftime show was, but he's not here right now. And it's just so awkward. Bro, what the fuck is Nurkic doing in this game? Fuck off, my guy. Learned that from Draymond. So the elbow that he did give to Olenek was well-deserved, right, Jamsters? I think he deserved it. I'm not just joking. He doesn't deserve it, but he is a pain in the ass to watch and just one of the most frustrating guys I've ever seen play the game of basketball. Darko, please shut down Ted Cruz. I'd rather KD drop 50 points on us than this guy. It's true. And, you know, Allen could have had 50 points and he failed us. I'm just kidding. Is Bruce Brown... okay, I didn't even see that. I'm going to say that for one for John if he ever comes back. Suns are the worst fourth quarter team in the league, so we actually have a chance in this game. Yeah, and then that's actually all I had. So, Jamsters, I'll be right back.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
All right, I'm back. What else did we talk about? You're all still here? The fuck is going on? All right, so I wanted to talk about... Got hair all over me. The one game I don't take a lot of notes in. All right, so who do we talk about, guys? I'm back. I don't know what just happened. The subreddit was not that good. With John not being here, it's just not the same. With him not being on the pod, it's never the same. But I don't want to talk to you negatively about anybody, really. But there is one guy that, you know, luckily we have Grayson Allen. Luckily, we sometimes have Royce O'Neal hit big threes. This guy right now is having the hardest time. The hardest time, and we need him to come through come playoff time.
From Indiana University, number 23, Air Gordon.
All right, Eric Gordon tonight, he did have 23 minutes played, 5 points, but he was 1-for-4 from three. So watching him play is one of the hardest things because I do focus on him a lot during the game, and you can just see him kind of struggle with, should I shoot, should I not shoot? That's one thing that should not ever enter his mind. It should always just be shoot. And when he got here, that's all he was supposed to do, right? Is score. He mentioned it earlier this season and with the media. He mentioned it like he's here to score, but he's not coming through, man. So like the last few games he's played against the Thunder, he did have the 15 points. But before that, the Nuggets, he had 4 points. The Raptors game, which is tonight, he had the 5 points. But I wanted to say that the whole Nuggets game. Hey, John's back, dude. Sorry, I'm trying to pick stuff out of my fingernails while I'm trying to talk and figure out what the fuck to talk about.
Oh, what do you want to talk about?
You missed subreddit stakeout.
Oh.
I know. I actually had a question about Bruce Brown. Was he wearing something weird on the sideline?
Yeah, dude. He was.
He was a cowboy?
Like, yeah, it looked like he, you know, like when you got like rookies and such, how they haze them and make them dress like dipshits.
Yeah, is that what he looked like?
He dressed like a dipshit tonight.
Okay, well, what I was actually bringing up to was Eric Gordon, how just complacent he looks on the court. And obviously,
he had to go pee.
He had what?
He had to go pee.
He had to go pee?
Yeah, in the fourth quarter, they pulled him out of the game, and I saw one of the assistant coaches like, hey, he's got to go to the bathroom.
Really?
And then he went. He went to the back. I was like, oh. And then that's what that was.
Did he go to the bathroom that we all use down there?
I don't know.
Okay. Because you know what's funny, and no one's going to believe me, but I swear I peed next to Frank Vogel right before the start of the second half. I swear. And like, honestly, that would have been a real honor. I've peed next to greats like Tom Gugliotta and Rex Chapman. But Frank Vogel having to go pee right before the second half, that would have been awesome. But I didn't get a real good look at him, but he was wearing Frank Vogel stuff, same height, all that shit. I should have looked at him dead in the eye.
Did he not make an adjustment while he was taking a piss? He started peeing on the floor and he just didn't adjust.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. What else you got, John? Are we ending this pod early or what's going on?
Well, first off, hold on. I just got to my car. I want to get in my car. I want to give a shout out. Hold on. Got to get my keys out of my bag. I literally had to turn my phone off and then on. It went dumb on me.
No, mine did too, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I have a hard time up there now.
Well, it was fine until I closed my laptop and all of a sudden, boom. Everything just like ended.
Yeah, it's all right, man. I mean, I did that to you twice. I went through a few things here, there, talked about Bol Bol. Like, that's my go-to. If I'm left alone in the streets and someone just bails on me, I go straight to Bol Bol.
Eric, I'm talking Bol Bol tonight, baby. Hold on a second. Let's do this. Start this
Are
bad
you
boy up.
Preparing us for something?
No. Get comfortable.
my sciatic nerve.
I thought you were like, I thought you had something for us or something.
No, so what I wanted to do is I wanted to, let's see if I'll put this up here. If that works at all. Do that. There we go. Take out my AirPods. Well, I wanted to give a shout out to one of our listeners. Where's my fucking iPod case? Fuck me in the goat ass shit. Did I fucking leave my iPod case up there?
Dude, I hope not.
I've done that like 2 times. I'm digging. Hold on a second. This is the worst podcast.
This is probably, well, it's all right, man. And someone did chat, Dagoon, John in the back rooms. Yeah, I don't know, question mark.
John in the what?
In the back rooms? I don't know what that means.
No, I'm
man.
In the parking garage, homies.
I'm in the back rooms. We're not allowed there. That's where the players go.
No. I wanted to give a shout out to Jonesin since 80. Some of you who watch the pod on a regular basis on the YouTube channel, you see him in the chat. He's got some funny comments and whatnot. And I was walking around pregame, and all of a sudden I hear Voida. I turn up behind me, and there's Jones and Sensei. He's like, hey, man, came down from Flagstaff with the fam to watch the game and, you know, says he loves the pod. And I appreciate, you know, one of the fun side things about doing this, obviously, is the connections that we make with everybody who's watching and listening. That's what makes this fun, is to know that we're not alone in our fandom, because at the end of the day, that's what we are here at you know, Brightside and Suns Jam, is we are fans. So to hear from one of the people who actually spends a little time just like yourselves, it's awesome meeting the Jamsters. I'll tell you this, folks, if you ever see us out at games, don't be afraid to say hi, man. I love talking to people. Matthew loves talking to people when they're in the bathroom. So if you're in the bathroom.
No, I keep Matthew, I keep it quiet. I just do the, like the white guy thing where you walk by people go,
The head nod.
Just the head nod. Little, yeah.
Little head noddage. What else did you have from this game? What did you talk about? Bowl.
You know what's funny? Yeah. You know what's funny? It's like, this is the game where I just had subreddit, really. The only other thing was the third quarter within the 7 turnovers. And you're like, oh shit, here we go. Like, KD's kind of throwing the ball out. Dirk had 7 turnovers this game, which is fucking insane. Like, that, I didn't even realize that until I looked at the box score. But, you know,
yeah,
I think
a lot of those turnovers on Nurk's behalf were potential fouls. It's not like he was just throwing the ball to the opposition. He'd have the ball and you'd have 3 guys swiping at him down low and they wouldn't call the foul.
Never gets close.
And, you know, and a lot of his hands in the air, him and KD had their hands up in the air a lot, you know, kind of asking for fouls throughout this game. And that was one of the issues in the third quarter. And that's one of the takeaways that I have from this game is, and kudos to the Suns for doing this, is they had a moment where you could see that the officials just were getting to them and they were like, you know what, nothing's going our way relative to calls, and they locked in and just focused on their game. And I appreciate that, because we know how it gets once the postseason begins, and we know how it gets with this Suns team, how they get a little touchy-feely, they let the officials get into their heads a little bit. And you know, there's bad calls on both sides every night. It happens all the time. But sometimes the Suns get to, you know, I won't go as far to say they get a little too whiny, but they allow the officials to dictate how they're playing. And they when they're driving to the basket, they start to seek for a foul to justify a previous non-call rather than just try to go through the contact and make the bucket. And that's what was starting to happen in aspects of that third quarter. At the beginning of the fourth, the Suns came out and opened on a 7-2 run, and you're like, okay, hey, shit, the Suns, they're scoring in the fourth, this is great. The Raptors called the timeout, boom, 9-0 run by the fucking Raptors. I'm like, are you shitting me with this team? And that's what had happened. A couple thousand, like, literally, the third quarter opened, foul. We had a defensive foul, and then there was it was offense, defense, something like that. And I was just like, dude, you can't let this team dictate your pace, or you can't let the officials dictate your pace, man. You got to be better than that. So that's going to be one of those things as we look at these final 19 games. We have 19 games left, Suns fans. And when you say that, it feels like it's not a lot, right? 19 games is almost a quarter of the season. So you really... Okay, cool. That ambulance is going the other way. You really still have a good chunk of time here, obviously playing against elite competition, but you really have a time to adjust to and develop an identity. Because I'll ask you this, Matthew, and Jamster's in the chat. I can't see the chat, so Matthew's going to have to say what you say. But what is our identity, Matthew? How would you define the Phoenix Suns' identity right now?
There's nothing. We don't have an identity. We have a guy in Grayson Allen that can go off. We have KD that will step up big time in certain situations to help us close out games. We have Beal who's still trying to find himself. So the identity there, it's not – we don't have – the only identity we really have is probably Nurk. Nurk moving the ball around. Some guy that can dominate the paint sometimes, right? Not every game. But he's a guy that you need in the game to actually have a chance to win, whether you have Book or not. Our identity is just up in the air. You can't tell. You have no idea. Is there an idea and an identity that you have place for the Suns? Because I don't think there is one.
That's where I landed. The Suns' identity is they have no identity. They're kind of like Henry Hill at the end of Goodfellas, right? Where after he snitches on Robert De Niro and Paul Cicero and they send him off to wherever to be a schnook the rest of his life, they take away his identity, and he's got kind of a you know, frustrations with that because he has an identity crisis. That's the Phoenix Suns right now. As you mentioned, they've got some amazing pieces. And I think that Frank Vogel's speech after the Denver game was the first instance, yes, of this team having an identity, where maybe they are monsters, right? Like that's, he's like, we're going to be monsters in the playoffs. Like maybe that could be their identity, and that's something that they can embrace and kind of hold true. Because you think about every postseason run, and every team has a tagline, right? The Warriors were believe for all those years. And, you know, there's no, you know, strength in numbers is another one that they had for a season. The Suns don't have that postseason tagline because you really just, and they don't really know who and what they are quite yet. And when you say, yeah, there's only 19 games left, you're like, shit, they got to, no, well, that's a quarter of the season left against the toughest competition they've yet to face. So now is the opportunity to develop an identity. Now is the opportunity to either fuse together or to fall apart. You know, to be like a Megadeth album. The countdown to extinction is on. If they're going to have a symphony for destruction, it's going to be because they don't have that, they don't develop an identity. But if they go out and they start to win some of these games and they become this battle-tested monster squad, they will have that identity. And that's what's going to have, that is what ultimately will carry them into the postseason and hopefully to a championship. Do I think that's going to happen? I don't know. I want to be optimistic, but my best advice for Suns fans is let's just go game to game right now. Let's just focus on the last game that occurred, and let's talk about the next game. Let's not get three games ahead of ourselves. Let's not go, okay, we got Boston, and then we go to Cleveland, then we go to Boston. No. One game at a time. That's all you can do right now. What can we learn from ourselves in this game? And that could be a topic that we can have on the podcast every night. What did we learn? That's why I started off the pod asking you that question. And the thing that I learned tonight in watching this team is when they were starting to get frustrated with officials, they kept their head, they stayed focused, and it led them to a victory, a 7-point victory against a not so great spot or great team, but a victory nonetheless when they're in a spot where they need every fucking win they can get.
Yeah, I don't think they're a team though that will ever give up. I think whether they suck or not, they're always going to play hard. I think that's just their identity, led by, well, if they are real leaders, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, they have no option but to continue to fight. Some of the Jamsters said Seth Logan, Hopkins says fourth quarter losers. This is their identity.
That's an identity. You're right there, Seth.
That definitely is. And subreddit, they definitely knew that. Suns Fever 83 says, I haven't really seen an identity yet, which is exactly how we both, you know, we both definitely agree with that.
Agree Saul with Soto, Suns Fever.
Yeah, no identity. Taking turns with iso ball.
Yep.
Still see that. John Chan, we are coming in hot. I don't know if that's an identity.
That's like a tagline. That's our tagline this year is hashtag coming in hot.
Yeah, but
that's like the Suns' official tagline.
I don't ever want to hear taglines on this pod ever again. Huntstar 05. Joking. Sorry, John Tran. Huntstar 05. Suns are a sleeping giant. So yeah, that's exactly it. We are monsters. And the best thing from that is when from that speech, which was awesome. Usually I don't care about that shit, but he really spoke to really the defense coming, getting better. And after the All-Star break, how they have improved. And he just, he has to continue to pump this team up in that way because he has no other option. And they're always going to continue to fight, like I said, but they have to like form the identity within when Booker comes back with a couple games, like they have to get back to that. And Booker has to go to the next level for them to even have a chance. Oh No God says best album, great reference. Shout out to you, John.
Thank you.
On that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I used to be obsessed with Metallica and Megadeth, man. And that Symphony for Destruction song on Countdown to Extinction was just, it was it. Yeah, I agree. And it was great to see that speech from Frank Vogel. It really was, because we haven't really had a lot of that from him. We've had a lot of smoke and mirrors with Frank because he's had to try to talk about injuries and, you know, when guys are coming back. And, you know, he doesn't seem to be the great motivator. He just kind of seems to be a nice guy who tells you what you want to hear in the press conferences. And to see him, you know, say the word ass twice in back-to-back sentences, I was highly impressed. It's like, okay, this is what we need to see. And you are right, Matthew. This is a team that will never quit. Because you have Kevin Durant, because you have Devin Booker, they're not the quitting type. So they will always continue to come at you. The goal is to put yourself in situations to where you're not having to talk about quitting, to where they're competing to the very end, to where they're not getting blown out or just being dominated in multiple fashions, and to not hurt themselves as much as they have this season. If there is any identity, it's like, it's somebody, you ever seen Cheddar Bob? Maybe that's our identity. They're a bunch of, it's Cheddar Bob. They shoot themselves in their own leg. Because that's what they do. They you know, they're a good team when they don't turn the ball over. But when they turn the ball over, they shoot themselves in their own leg. I'm going to put that in my article tomorrow. Because the reason I bring this all up, because I have an article coming out on Brightside tomorrow talking about the Suns' identity with 19 games to go. So all the stuff I said is going to be in that article. So if you'd like to read my articles, you just got a fucking preview.
Yeah, it's tough to be this late in the season. But, you know, I did mention in subreddit that Cat did tear his meniscus. So it's likely is done for the season.
Yeah, there's opportunity there.
That's what I was saying. It's bad to say, but I was talking to my friend David, you know, the other day. We talked about who the Suns, you know, who do they have a chance against? It's basically, I feel like they can beat anybody but maybe the Nuggets and the Clippers and the T-Wolves. The only way they have a real shot this year is if there are injuries, maybe. Maybe they find themselves there like the Raptors when the Raptors won 3 or 4 years ago. That might be the only chance they have this year to win a championship, which is bad to say, but that's just the way it is, I feel like.
Did you see that block that Anthony Edwards had?
Yes, it was a game-saving or game-winning block, right?
Dude, he hit his head on the fucking rim.
That was nuts, dude. I thought he got hurt after that, too. That's the way he came down and everything. That was insane, man. Best block of the year.
My God, that was insane, man. I mean, the Wolves are a formidable opponent. Obviously, losing Cat's going to really, really hurt them. I'll tell you what's here's a funny anecdote from tonight. Halftime, I go downstairs to get a hot dog. And then on the way downstairs, I take the elevator down and I get in, and it is an elevator full of Raptors fans. The whole thing, the way they're talking, they're all Canadian, and you know,
yeah.
They're like, oh, look at this guy. He's got media credentials, eh? Ooh, we're in with a hot shot in here, you know? And I was like, no, man. I turned my back to them, because that's what I do to Canadians. And I hear them start talking about the game. And remember, we were kicking the shit out of them at halftime. And so they were looking to go down, or they were looking to go up to level 2, but we had to go all the way down to 0 first. So we go all the way down, and then right before I get off, they're talking about like, man, it'd be really nice if we could get back this game. It's not going to happen. We suck. And like, right, it was like poetic. Like, the elevator door opens to level 0. I take one step off the elevator. I turn around. I go, you must not know who the Phoenix Suns are. And I walk away. And then obviously, you know, they come back, and I was just like, it was anecdotal.
Yeah, it was kind of like the Raptors themselves too were like, wait, hold on, we shouldn't be winning this game. And like, you know, it's one of those games where it's like, well, luckily we played the Raptors and luckily they missed some big shots in the end, but they were just kind of scared to like get any closer to the Suns or take the lead. That's what it looked like.
Well, they didn't have the talent. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
No, they don't, but they had the opportunities there. Gary Trent just going off, like, and then quickly, obviously he missed some shots. He got hot, but not hot enough. He does. Yeah. Even Eddie said that on the broadcast. He's like, this guy always is going off. This is always a thing. He's always scoring on the Suns.
Gary Trent fucks us every time we play him, man. It's so annoying. And, yeah, Emmanuel Quickley, that shifty little bastard, 21 and 18 tonight? Is that what he had? Yeah. 18 fucking assists?
18. Yeah, 18 assists, Lord. Dude.
Now, granted, he cherry-picked the last one, but still, man, like, good God.
I know, man. Ugh.
Anyways, you want to do the Jam Star?
Doing Jam Star right now.
Star of the game.
Great minds think alike, huh, John?
Oh, yeah. I'm driving, so I'm... This is great content for all of you who are watching for the first time. All three of you. You're like, what?
Yeah, sometimes you can't hear the drop, so I don't know if you heard it or not, but yeah.
I saw it when I looked down. I nearly took out five cars, but I saw it.
Oh, you're like, oh, Jam Star time.
I'm like, Jam Star, oh, shit.
I'll give it to Grayson Allen. I'll give it to Grayson Allen tonight.
I'm going to give it to Grayson Allen in the first half and KD in the second half.
Okay.
Because Grayson Allen was the offense in the first half. And then he did nothing in the second half. And then KD stepped up in the second half. And that's why I decided to go that route.
Saul Soto says, Allen, Guns Fever 83 GA. No good. Says 35 for 35. That's my Jam Star. KD, obviously. Hell damn guy. Hell damn guy, huh? For sure,
Hell
Grayson.
Damn guy.
Seth Logan, Hopkins, Grayson, Kip, Allen, Michael Kolb. Eubanks and KD and GA. Wow. Got a threesome right there.
The
lazy Squatch. The Suns need a goon. That's not a Lazy Squatch. Oh, Grayson Allen. There's your answer. That's awesome, man. John, or if you're not a man, sorry. John Tran, Grayson Allen is my Jam Star. KD, Jam Finisher. I like that. Oh, sorry. Grayson Allen is my Jam Starter. KD is my Jam Finisher. Just like you were saying, John. Hell damn
that
guy, Grayson Ayton.
That makes sense.
And then David Ray says KD is my pick for Jam Star of the game.
Sweet. All right. Well, let's talk about the next game, huh? What's the score of that Boston Denver game? That's still going on, right?
Yeah, it is. There's 20 seconds left. The Nuggets are up 113 to 109. And the Celtics are about to implode as, you know, Bill Simmons has been talking them up a lot. So they're going to implode and probably end up not doing anything in the playoffs. But. And we have a chance to beat them.
Shit. Oh, I'm excited for that game.
You never know. You never know. How do we win? Know. How do we beat this team?
How do we beat this team? We stay focused. I think that's the biggest. Like, we've talked about it, especially recently, and we've seen it in which games when we play lesser competition, like tonight, right? Can you pull up the turnover numbers? How many turnovers did the Suns have tonight?
They have 14. I think they had like 12 entering the fourth quarter, 13.
And how many
like
points
that.
Off turnover? Because I know that number was high.
Oh, I don't have that in front of me.
You have ESPN?
Yeah, ESPN doesn't have it, do they? I think
NBA.com
does. Yeah, it
does. It's right under turnovers, under team stats.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
under turnovers.
27.
Yeah, 27 off of 14 turnovers. That's a lot of fucking points off turnovers.
Oh, 16 total turnovers, too. So I guess
so
it didn't refresh.
So 16 then 27. That's not good. Okay, now when we played the Rockets and we beat them out of, you know, like the we played two games against them. In the game that we beat them, we had a bunch of turnovers, but we didn't allow points off turnovers. When we played OKC, we had a bunch of turnovers, and then they scored a shit ton. If we had not allowed the Raptors tonight to score points off turnovers, guess what? We blow them out of the water. My point is, when you play a team like the Celtics, they will capitalize on every turnover you make. And the reason that the Suns competed with and ultimately beat the Denver Nuggets, they had 10 turnovers. So that's the key to success for the Suns. We know this. They're 14-1 if they commit 10 or less turnovers. If you want to play ball, we have the offensive talent. We have the defensive talent. We have some guys who have lateral quickness and some length. We can match up against them in theory if we don't turn the ball over. What also makes Boston very, very tough is their second team unit could probably beat the Toronto Raptors, could definitely beat the Pistons and the Spurs and the Rockets, like a bunch of low-level teams. Their second team unit is that good. So the challenge that the Suns are going to have to do is take care of the ball and match their depth, ensure that their bench production is limited. So that means Yusuf Nurkic, you're going to have a good game. You know, you're going to need Bol Bol to give you some points off the bench and play a little defense. Can we beat the Celtics? Absolutely we can. We just beat the Nuggets. Like, the Suns can beat anybody. Will they beat them? That's a whole nother story. They can't cheddar bob themselves, man. They can't shoot themselves in the leg against a team like the Boston Celtics, or they will end up in a rap battle against Eminem. And Eminem versus Cheddar Bob, no one wants to see that, man.
So you're saying Bol Bol needs to go head-to-head with Porzingis and win us the game. So I'm seeing that.
Stop that. That's going to happen. What was it, Bol Bol versus Chet? Like, you were, like, so wet for that, and it never happened.
I thought Nurk was out. I thought Nurk was out of the game, and then I right after that, I found out he wasn't.
Yeah, but even if that's the case, like, Bol Bol is never going to be a backup five. He's a backup four.
That's fine. My Bol Bol experience in my head. That's fine. But this is the thing with Bol Bol, is the thing is with his players, people keep saying you can't do this, he can't do this. I think he can, and I think it's going to happen eventually. So,
well, like, pull up the basketball reference page for the Phoenix Suns. Like, how many minutes has he played at center this year? It's not. Two. I know. It's not even. No, they do it in percentiles, not actual minutes. They go, what percent of his total minutes are allocated to what position? It says it at the bottom of the page. But it's not even a if he can or can't. Like, Vogel won't. Vogel won't put him in at the five, especially against Porzingis. Porzingis is he's a bad man. Did they end up losing? Did Boston end up losing?
Yeah, they lost. So that's another thing, too. So if they lose, if they would have won tonight, maybe they let off a little bit against the Suns. But now that they lost, and that's two in a row for the Celtics, they're going to be looking to win and cream the Suns. And
that's three in a row, dude. They lost to the fucking Cavs.
Oh, damn, dude. Okay, well, even more of a reason to come into Phoenix and kill them. And I think that what the Suns can do, I mean, what it's going to show is if we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, I obviously believe we have a chance to win. But like the last two games, Beal and KD just need to rise to the occasion and just show that they can be those other guys around book. Because I'm still not seeing it. I know we won two games in a row, and I know they closed the last game, but it has to be consistent through the whole game. It can't be a thing where it's like, will he or will he not? Like, it has to be all four quarters, and every minute they play has to be that good in order to beat this Boston Celtics team. So, Jamsters, love seeing you. Love hearing you. Love seeing you, John. Love hearing you. Are you there? Beep, beep, beep. All right, well, John can't hear you, but Jamsters out there, go ahead and like, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Make sure to go to Spotify. If you're listening to right now, just go over and give us a 5-star. Give it back up to 5 stars, because as soon as that happens,
yes,
I'll give a shout out on Twitter, because that'd be awesome. To be the only Suns podcast with a 5-star rating with 140 plus reviews, which is fucking great. So,
hell John, appreciate you, Jamsters.
Yeah. What else you
one
got?
One last question before you tell people what to do with their families and such. All right. It's an easy question for you. Answer it, then get us out of here. Does Devin Booker play on Saturday?
Yes. Everyone go home and love your family. What do you think?
Yeah, no.
All right, cool. Love your family.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.